Welcome to this episode of Dental Soundbites. Here's your host, Dr. Bill Griffin.
Thanks, Jamie. Today's guest on Dental Soundbites, Dr. Kevin Aduddle, has been a member of CMDA since 2009, his first year at Baylor College of Dentistry. He and his wife, Chloe, have been blessed with three children, and he's also recently become a practice owner. In addition to enjoying his family and running his practice, Kevin also treats patients from around the world at a Christian clinic near Plano, Texas. You may know Kevin as the leader of episode 15 of CMDA's Faith Prescription series, or you may have heard him speak at our most recent CMDA National Convention. Here's our chance to find out more about how Dr. Aduddle seeks to walk with Christ in the dental profession. Well, Kevin, thanks very much for your willingness to join us for this episode of Dental Soundbites.
Thanks for having me on, Griff.
I know that earlier this year, you attended our national convention in Asheville, North Carolina, and you even brought your wife, Chloe, and your three children. How was the conference for you?
Oh, man, it was a great time. Yes, I brought my wife and kids, and they had a good time in the cabin and in the beautiful North Carolina area while I was at the conference. But I thought the plenary speakers were all excellent. The breakout topics offered plenty of helpful topics for everyone. But, you know, as I'm reflecting on it, Griff, it was hard to avoid getting emotional during the worship sometimes at the plenaries. Mm-hmm. Just having that many docs in the room together that so obviously love the Lord deeply. There was something about those worship sessions that was just deeply encouraging to me. Kind of made me realize that even though we might not be together every day, and there was a lot that weren't there, but we don't fight alone, that we're all kind of in this together in the Lord.
Very well put. And what's interesting to me also is that in 2023, we had the most dentists ever at a national convention. And this year in 2024, we had a few more than that. So the Lord is growing our number, which is evident at the national convention. And I think that commonality we have of challenges that we face in healthcare and looking to the Lord in worship and recognizing Him as the one who enables us and strengthens us and giving us our gifts, that really did make the worship special. Now, at the convention, you were part of a panel along with Dr. Mike Chupp and Dr. Kathy Scarborough that discussed how we as healthcare professionals can be sensitive to our patients' spiritual needs in addition to providing for their clinical treatment. And I know that as you see patients in Plano, Texas, the Lord has given you a strong desire to benefit your patients in a truly holistic fashion. How did your integration of spiritual care into your treatment of patients first begin?
Well, I actually come from a family of dentists. So I watched my father growing up. He's also a believer, and he made a focus incorporating his faith into practice as well. So I was very fortunate in that regard to have seen this modeled for me really from an early age. And that was the beginning of it. But then as I grew in my faith and became a dentist myself, I was kind of called to start the dental urgent care line at an urgent care clinic that my church sponsors. And so in that experience, I got pretty familiar with having spiritual conversations with patients and developing that part of the patient encounter. Mm-hmm. And then from there, really since then, I've worked to kind of translate that into a private practice setting. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like stepwise in terms of my desire, my seeing it modeled, and then beginning to do that in a clinic setting and then in my own private practice.
Right. Well, you mentioned your father, and you and I each have fathers who practiced dentistry. And we also each have brothers who joined us in following in our father's footsteps. What might you and your brother have seen in your dad that inclined you both towards following his lead?
Well, A, that we shouldn't be someone different at the office than we are at home or at church or anywhere else. That should be, it's part of a matter of faith integrity to be that same person wherever we are. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, in the course of his career, really multiple decades, I saw the opportunity that we have in dentistry to influence patients' lives. He's on three plus generations of the patients in the same families that have kept coming to him. So just seeing the opportunity for that kind of generational impact, it's been pretty special.
Yeah, that is a tremendous thing. And also, as you mentioned in your Faith Prescriptions video, the fact that we as general dentists often get to see patients over a long period of time, as you referred to, even multiple generations. And that's a real special relationship that develops over time. Mm-hmm. And now, as the leader of episode 15 of Faith Prescriptions, you're able to have a similar influence on CMDA members across the nation. So as you see patients in your practice, what are some of the initial spiritual touch points that you utilize with your patients?
Well, this is something that it really kind of starts long before the patient ever comes to the office. On my website, the About the Doctor profile contains my church membership and my clinic service. And hopefully just right off the bat, they know who I belong to and what mm-hmm. I stand for yes. from that. When a patient walks into my office, if they're listening, they will hear some Christian music playing. Mm-hmm. They'll hear the name of Jesus being sung over the airwaves there. I try to keep flyers for my churches and ministries in the waiting room, like marriage ministry, recovery ministry, those types of things. Mm-hmm. The new patient questionnaire, it asks how we can pray for them. So it becomes more personal as we get to know them more. And then ultimately, there's various faith flags that we try to have in conversation. The point there is that we're being identified with Christ. So whatever, you know, excellence that we have in our care and in our relationship with them, they know where that's coming from.
And you made a huge point in your episode of Faith Prescriptions that I hadn't heard any of the other speakers make, which I think is excellent. When you mentioned that merely treating patients well without referring to the Christ-centered foundation that gives rise to that desire, that can be potentially harmful in your spiritual effect on the patient. Can you break that down a bit for our listeners?
So the key there is that it's potentially harmful. If you think about it, Christ didn't come to make do-gooders. He came to make disciples. Hmm. And so doing good apart from Christ still nets the same result as doing harm in an Ecclesiastes sort of way. If we think of it like that, the end result would be the same for that person. So we are called to do good, but to do it in Jesus's name. So if we show godly character, let them know in some way or another that it's because of Jesus. If we go overseas to serve, it's because of Jesus. If we engage locally, it's because of him. This is Colossians 3:17. It says, whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So it kind of highlights the problem with random acts of kindness is that some people may come away from such acts and conclude, well, that's a good person and they don't have Jesus, so I don't need him either. So in all things, we want to be identified with Christ. We want to do great good through him and with him as our banner. I think we had a conference about that recently, didn't we?
Yes, we did. And so what I hear you saying is that there should be ongoing illustrations of who we belong to and how we seek to live our lives, how we seek to treat our patients, that might be considered somewhat background that happen on a regular basis. And then from within that, we look for individual opportunities that might spring up that give us an opportunity to more specifically, more powerfully communicate the reason for the hope that's in us. Mm-hmm. That's a great approach that I think we can all learn from and emulate. Now, some of our CMDA members strive to have an all-Christian team, and while others are open to having non-Christians on the team and seeing them as potentially fertile areas for the gospel. But I think that every Christian caregiver, regardless of whether or not you're hoping for an all-Christian team, would love to know something about the spiritual state of prospective employees before they're hired. Now, it would be illegal, of course, to directly ask an applicant where they stand spiritually. So what are your thoughts regarding how a dentist can learn about the faith status of prospective employees in a way that won't get them into legal trouble?
Yes, this is an important topic also. My perspective, I've seen the benefit of both situations, having an all-Christian team and having a mix, some that are, some that aren't. My perspective on this is that I would love to always have an anchor or a champion of the Christian culture I'm trying to build on my team. It's hopefully someone that's in a prominent role or someone who's influential in some way. And then from there, if everyone else is Christian, great. If not, by no means do you have to believe like I do to work with us, but my goal is that they're at least friendly towards the gospel or matters of faith. So we aren't pulling in different directions. And so that person isn't miserable coming to work every day. After all, it is only fair that someone applying for a job knows about the person and place where they'll be working ahead of time. So in the hiring process, of course, we can't ask certain questions, but we can definitely talk about ourselves, right? And so I like to just pretty plainly say that I personally am a follower of Jesus, and I try to be the same person at home, in the office, wherever I am. And then from there, explain a little bit of what that will look like for them in an office setting. The reality is, I think there was a recent study, it's as many as 45% of non-believers have a negative viewpoint of Christians. So knowing that just kind of gives some clarity what that means, that I'm a Christian. And you know, for me, I would say that I want to put others before myself. I always want to be honest and care for others, among other things. And then I give a little bit of a pause, and I really try to read their reaction to hearing that. I look at body language, facial expressions, the choice of words they have in response. And I just kind of know that those reactions can speak volumes.
If you present it that way in terms of who you are and how that affects the way you seek to run the practice and ask if they would be agreeable to that, they might jump right out and say, "Oh, I'm a part of, First Baptist Church, and I've been a believer since 1991 or whatever." Or they might respond by saying, "I guess that would be okay." And so, in either sense, you get a little bit of an idea of where they are. And I'm with you that although I would love for all of my staff members to know the joy that is in Christ alone, that those who come to me for employment, who seem to have the skills necessary to treat our patients well, I'm very happy to have the opportunity to influence them in that direction. And by God's grace, I did have one employee that came to faith in Christ as she was working with me. Now, you're a relatively new practice owner, and I know your hands are full with various responsibilities associated with managing a small business. And I think one of the key aspects of a successful practice, especially if you're seeking to communicate the love of Christ, is team unity. What are some of the ways you seek to inspire unity among your team members?
Well, and this kind of goes back to the previous question some too, that we're called to be disciple makers, and we do that with patients, we do that with team members. And so this is it's a discipleship process that we're going through with everyone on our team. We like to have family meetings, as I call them sometimes, where we come together as a team and we talk about whatever's going on in the practice. Is there anything new we're trying to implement? Is there anything that's been tough lately? Are there any patients to pray for? And then we pray together. Whoever is on the team is interested in doing that. But it's also on a personal level too, that I want to care for my people on a pastoral level. So sometimes I'll just pull someone aside and say, "Hey, how are you doing lately? What's hard in your life right now?" Look for ways I can come alongside them and help with that. And then we also want to prioritize fun. We'll schedule just fun days. We got one coming up at the end of the summer where we go to Topgolf or go bowling, and we'll do something fun together just to have fun, not to talk about work or anything else. There's also an aspect where it's inevitable that if you've got imperfect people that are together for any amount of time, there's going to be conflict. And so how we lead through that is pretty important. As far as me as a leader of my practice, I want to be a peacemaker, and I want to pursue intentionally resolving conflict amongst my team members. That takes time and work, and it takes a lot of leadership to do that. Currently, I'm reading a book called Leadership Proverbs: Wisdom for Today's Leaders. It's by Dr. David Stevens and Burt Jones.
Yes.
It's a book of leadership proverbs reflecting on scripture and their experiences over the years. I think it's available in the CMDA.org bookstore also, if you want to pick that up. But it's been really helpful as far as all of these topics, really, because there'll be kind of a scattering of various leadership principles that kind of help me get an outside perspective on how our team is doing and how I'm doing as a leader.
I appreciate what you mentioned about that book on leadership. I get to see Burt Jones here at headquarters just about every day that I'm here, and David Stevens drops by periodically as well. And when you read a book that's written by someone that you have great reason to respect, it just really makes it a powerful thing to hear. And I love the effect you hope to have on your practice. There is a periodontist down your way named Scott Betacek. I don't know if you've met him yet, but he will be speaking at the Great Commission Dental Conference, which we'll be talking about shortly here. And his topic is how you sew into your team and how you try to have a pastoral effect on your team, not just so that dentistry would go well, not even just so that ministry to patients would go well, but actually for the benefit of the team. And I love that you share that vision with Dr. Betacek. So now, in addition to your treatment of patients in private practice, you also spend time at a Christian clinic in your area. Tell us how that got started and how you're involved there.
Yeah, so that was a time in my life. I just graduated from dental school. I had about the shortest resume of anybody in the city that the Lord could have had start something like this. But yeah, it's just further proof that I was just willing to raise my hand and do it. And from there, he took my hand and he walked along and made everything happen in front of me and all these doors open. It was pretty amazing. But my church has an urgent care clinic, a medical urgent care clinic. And they went on stage once and said that they're trying to take the load off the ambulances and the emergency rooms in the area. And I had just gotten out of school where they told us how many patients are going into emergency rooms with tooth pain and tooth infections. And so I just said, hey, look, do you need a dentist? Is there anybody that's helping with this? And it turns out there wasn't at the time. And so they were gracious enough to let this new grad show up and start seeing some dental patients. We got a couple of medical exam rooms kind of retrofitted for dentistry and made operatories out of them and started seeing patients in 2015. One of our main, I guess, goals of treatment is we want to treat every patient, not just medically and dentally, but socially and spiritually as well. And so that's the standard of care that we have includes all of those areas of someone's life. And so early on, I made a goal to engage with patients spiritually, every single patient, every time. And it was a challenge.
Yes, yes.
it was difficult early on. And I began to get a pretty good routine with it. But it's an amazing, amazing thing to be able to go on a mission trip in your own backyard. And we've seen patients from dozens of countries all around the world there. Truly, here in Dallas, the nations are coming to us. And I know that's likely similar in most cities across America, too. Mm-hmm. So it's been really fun.
Well, we have a good bit in common. I worked at a clinic in Eastern Virginia. And actually, this Friday in Bristol, Tennessee, I'll be at a Christian clinic seeing patients Friday morning. And it's just, it still amazes me how God can use a toothache to draw attention and bring glory to himself. And I have not yet heard of a person praying, Lord, give me a toothache so I'll see my need for you. But he uses things we would never pray for, and we get to be those instruments.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we've mentioned it a little bit already here, but I'm very excited about your involvement with the upcoming Great Commission Dental Conference that's going to be held in Irving, Texas, not too far from you, on October 4th and 5th. Now, you'll be a part of a wonderful lineup of 28 different sessions. I think I've spoken with the leaders of 27 of those 28 sessions, and I just can't wait to see them turned loose. And the only challenge is that during the plenary sessions, there'll be three different courses concurrently, and you can only go to one. But we have hopes of doing a lot of recording so people can afterwards hear the sessions that they could not attend live, but I just can't wait to see how the Lord will work through this conference to inspire greater gospel ministry through dentistry. That's both in this country in private practices and in clinics, and also abroad with short-term and long-term trips.
Wow. Yeah, it's going to be amazing. I'm really excited for it. It's a dentistry-specific missions conference, and I'm not really too aware of any of many others like it, if they're out there at all. So thanks to you and the CMDA for organizing it. Irving, Texas is not too far from me, right here in the Dallas area. And yeah, we're looking to host dentists and their team members from mission fields around the globe and at home. There's going to be plenty to learn and plenty to be encouraged by, regardless of where we are in our journey and in ministry through dentistry. So yeah, I'm really excited to be encouraged by so many like-minded dentists that care so much for seeing Christ's kingdom advance around the globe.
And just a question, at the clinic you work at there in Plano, do you have room for additional volunteers if they surfaced?
We do. Yeah. So our clinic is actually in Lake Highlands, Texas, which is a little bit north of Dallas.
Okay.
And we do. We're constantly looking for volunteers. The need is great and the laborers are few, as it says. So if there is anyone listening in the Dallas area that is looking for a place to serve, let us know. We'd be glad to have you.
And we're hoping at this conference to put a spotlight on some of the local Christ-centered dental ministries, such as your clinic, so that more in the Dallas area can know about it and can seek the Lord's will regarding whether or not he would have them play a role in it. I know that at those clinics, it's a tremendous blessing for those who serve, but I haven't been to one yet who couldn't use more available to meet the needs in your area there. So for those of you who would like to join Kevin and me at the conference, you can learn more and you can register by going to cmda.org/GCDC, which stands for Great Commission Dental Conference. And although this is our first year having the conference, we would love for it to become an annual event. And the feedback and the registrations that we've gotten so far make me believe that that could very well happen. Kevin, is there anything else I didn't ask you about that you'd like to share with our listening audience?
I think you actually told me this once. It's been a little while, but you mentioned how your career, your walk with Christ in dentistry developed over the course of time. It didn't happen all at once. And it was something that was kind of a career-long, lifelong process of continually being sanctified and refining and developing as you go. And so I think that's been deeply encouraging to me, because there's many times when I walk out of an operatory and sit back down in my office and I'm like, man, I kind of blew it there. I could have engaged and I didn't.
Yeah.
And just knowing that I'm not fully cooked yet. He's not done with me and he's got more to do. So just having that encouragement of knowing that this is a process just like sanctification in any other way. And I had a missionary friend once that told me, when you blow it, preach the gospel to yourself. Mm. When we keep the gospel front and center of our minds and our hearts, that's going to help us persevere and continue to move forward, even when things are tough or even in the face of failure.
And I think that happens certainly clinically and spiritually. I was thinking the other day for some reason about one of the first patients that I saw, and he came in with a broken tooth and I just wasn't quite sure what to do. So I thought, well, I'll put a temporary filling in there and then I'll think about it. And the next day he came back and that temporary filling had fallen out. And I said, well, I told you it was temporary, and he didn't laugh and I never saw him again. So, you know, I think about progress that the Lord enables us to make clinically. And equally important, perhaps even more important, how the Lord shows us as we step out in faith and try to address spiritual issues, he shows us ways to do that that are respectful and sensitive and can represent Christ without bowling people over. And it's not necessarily an easy thing, but the more we are seeking to play that spiritual role in our patients, the more God's going to bless our efforts. So great, great point to finish up with. Well, Kevin, I very much appreciate the time we've had to consider how the Lord has been at work in your life through dentistry. And I very much look forward to spending time with you and many of our colleagues in October at the Great Commission Dental Conference.
Thanks, Griff. Thanks for having me on. I hope to see you here in Dallas coming up in October.
We'll be there. If you enjoyed Dr. Adottel's comments today, as I certainly did, consider coming to hear more from him and other speakers at CMDA's Great Commission Dental Conference to be held on October 4th and 5th in Irving, Texas. At this conference, we'll have a wide variety of topics, something for everyone. Whether you seek to honor Christ in your private practice, at a clinic, with international short-term mission trips, or perhaps are considering a long-term commitment to missions, we will have speakers with great experience in these areas ready to inspire you and energize you towards discovering God's will for your life. If you'd like more information, you can go to cmda.org/GCDC, which stands for Great Commission Dental Conference. Hope to see many of you there. One of the most amazing aspects of this past year's national convention was the fact that 92 healthcare professionals made the commitment to become lifetime members. And this total included 9 dentists and 1 hygienist. And since the convention, an additional 48 colleagues have joined the ranks of CMDA lifetime members. I encourage those of you listening to this podcast to consider investing in CMDA ministry by joining us for life. There will be no more dues to pay, you will save a lot of money over time, and we have some special benefits in the works, including by invitation only life member webinars led by some of CMDA's senior staff. To learn more about CMDA being our lifeline for a lifetime, go to cmda.org/lifetime. We've reached the end of our time together, but let me extend an invitation to each of you. If you have any ideas for future podcasts or for CMDA ministry in general, or if there's just something on your mind you'd like to discuss, I would be happy to hear your thoughts. You can contact me at bill.griffin@cmda.org. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, the Apostle Paul calls us to encourage one another and build each other up. And I so appreciate the opportunity we have to do just that through CMDA. Until next time, God bless.
Thanks for listening to Dental Soundbites. If you would like to suggest a future guest or share a comment with us, please email dental@cmda.org. And if you like the podcast, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and share it on your favorite social media platform. This podcast has been a production of Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by Christian Medical and Dental Associations. CMDA is a nonpartisan organization that does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on this podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members, and are not intended to imply endorsement of any political party or candidate.